Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. And I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They have a program that comes on every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn On The Light Broadcast. Turn On The Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. And they come on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Their lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. Their worship pastor is Pastor Zikri Osler. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. So once again, I'd like to thank you for calling in. And before we get into the word, we want to hear a song. Amen.
So the song says, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being moved. God, we believe, 'cause yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all listen. And bodies are still being raised. Woo! Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need to move. Woo! We need to move. Can you shout that out? We need to move. We need to move.
Oh,
We need a move. We need a move. She said, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. And yes, bodies are still being raised. Glory to God. Giants are still being slayed. Anybody facing any giants tonight? Glory to God. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, you come with the sword and the shield, but I come with the faith in Almighty God. Glory to God. We are here for you, God, to come and do what you do. Come and do what you do, God. Hallelujah. Have your way. Have your way tonight, God. Have your way. This is a move. Thank you once again for calling in. We're going to jump into the word, amen. Coming out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the 43rd chapter. We're going to do a little reading to lay a foundation, okay? Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, starting at the 18th verse. Isaiah 43 and 18. And it reads, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Verse 20 says, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Somebody say, I am chosen. Glory to God. Verse 21 says, this people, the chosen ones, have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's our purpose, to show forth his praise. Now let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, Father, thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means now, right now. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thank you for the gift, Father. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Last verse, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, somebody say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Now, glory to God. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now stay in Ephesians. We're going to go to the fourth chapter, starting at verse 17. And it reads, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from this life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. I'm going to repeat that one. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 said, put on the new man, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Somebody say, I am new. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. Anybody thank God for that? Revelation, the 21st chapter. This will be our last one. Revelation, 21st chapter. Starting at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, glory to God, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat up on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Anybody thirsty? Verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. He said, I make all things new. And verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The title of the message tonight is The New Normal. The New Normal. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Thank you for allowing us once again to come before you. Hear what you would have to say, God, to equip us, to prepare us, to get us ready, Father, for what you're about to do. Thank you for choosing us, God, for calling us your own, your sons and your daughters in this earth. Father, we thank you for revelation tonight. Thank you for understanding. And Father, we be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The new normal. That seems to be the phrase in today's society, current events. The new normal. I saw something that said researchers predict that the U.S. may have to live with social distancing until 2022 without a vaccine. The researchers predict that the U.S. may have to live with social distancing until 2022 without a vaccine. That sounds like a new normal. I also saw that the governor of California warns them to prepare for the new normal. Then I just saw today that the president of America, President Trump, has a new slogan. Opening up America again. opening up America again. So what's new normal? New normal is a term in business and economics that refers to financial conditions following the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008, and the aftermath of the 2008 to 2012 global recession. In the urban text, a new normal means the current state of being after some dramatic change has transpired. The current state of being after some dramatic change has transpired. New normal is also is what replaces the expected, the usual, the typical state after an event occurs. So what event are we talking about today? The coronavirus, or some people say COVID-19. The new normal encourages one to deal with current situations rather than lamenting what could have been. Instead of lamenting what could have been, it says the new normal encourages one to deal with current situations. Is that true? Can everybody attest to that, agree to that? So what is lament, if that's the case? Lament is to mourn aloud, a complaint, to express sorrow, mourning, or regret, for often demonstratively, to express sorrow, mourning, or regret for often demonstratively. And the demonstrative is demonstrating as real or true. It's inclined to display feelings openly. Another definition for lament is a crying out in grief, to wail, wailing. And the word wail means to express sorrow audibly. It's a usually prolonged cry or sound expressing grief or pain. To say or express dissatisfaction plaintively. Plaintively means it's an expressive of suffering or woe, melancholy. So what's melancholy? It's causing or tending to cause sadness or depression. Where do we see that today? On the news, melancholy, causing or tending to cause sadness or depression of mind or spirit, to be dejected, to be sad. It's an abnormal state attributed to an excess of black bile and characterized by irascibility or depression, an abnormal state. And I have to look up the word irascible, when it says irascibility. It says marked by hot temper and easily provoked anger, to become angry or to be angry. Do we see that today? So the quote that I read is, the new normal encourages one to deal with current situations rather than lamenting what could have been. So that's why I ask, is that so? would one really agree with what that says? Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. I want to touch on irascibility. It says, marked by hot temper and easily provoked anger. To become angry, to be angry. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Everybody don't want to hear complaints, murmuring, negativity. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Those are the type of things that we should speak. To edify people, to encourage them, to build them up, to give them hope, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all bitterness and wrath, hatred, and anger, indignation, vengeance, clamor, and uproar, and evil speaking, blaspheme, be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this scripture right here, verse 32, it covers all. It says, be ye kind one to another. Be tenderhearted. Be compassionate. Be nice to people. Forgiving one another. Why? Because God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Think about yourselves. Scripture says, on our best day, we're all filthy rags to God. Filthy rags. Not just dirty, but filthy. You throw filthy things away. You don't want to clean them. But even then, in that state that we're in, It said, God forgives us. Glory to God. Father, thank you for forgiving me in my filthiness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to St. Mark, the third chapter. St. Mark, the third chapter. Talking about anger. We're going to start at verse 1. St. Mark 3, verse 1. It says, and he entered again into the synagogue. This is Jesus we're talking about. Says he entered again into the synagogue. Glory to God. The Lord just said, that's prophetic. He said, we are going to enter again into the churches. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, which is the day of rest in that particular culture at that time, that they might accuse him. Verse 3 says, and he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, did you hear that? Because they were looking to accuse him, Jesus. They're looking to accuse Jesus for healing somebody, for saving somebody's life on the Sabbath day. Verse 5, I'm going to read it again. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. Now, that's where the healing took place. The healing took place in the man being obedient to what Jesus said. So there's a reaction. And that reaction was the man stretching out his hand. And then it says, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And let's talk about this anger that Jesus had toward the men that were trying to accuse him of doing something wrong on the Sabbath day. Says, according to some, this would prove that Christ was not sanctified and that he had the old man in him. But it only demonstrates that anger is not necessarily a manifestation of sin and Satan. A lot of people like to blame stuff on the devil. A lot of people like to blame stuff on sin. No. How about it's just human nature? Said both God and man have it and will always have it. Talking about anger. Without it, man will not be capable of waging warfare against sin and Satan. So do not pray to be dehumanized and uncreated, but pray to be able to control all faculties in the bounds of the law of God. That's what we pray for. Because some things, really, we waste our time praying for. Because it's not going to be removed. This says both God and man have anger and will always have anger. So don't pray for the anger to be removed. Pray and ask God to help you to control that anger and use it for his glory. This is what Jesus did. Though he was angry, he sinned not. But in his anger, he glorified God by healing. Glory to God. Just wanted to touch that. Because a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are upset with what's going on. But use that anger to do what God has called you to do. Glorify him in your anger. It says the new normal isn't normal at all. That's what I saw. The new normal isn't normal at all. I mean, you got schools and colleges closed. Walmart's not being open 24 hours. Anybody angry or upset about that? No dining in at restaurants. You got people mad because they got to cook. No public weddings or funerals. Churches are closed. No gatherings of more than 10 people. I heard today that they may be opening it up to 50 in some cases. Social distancing. That's the new normal. Staying 6 to 10 feet away from each other. People are afraid to hug. People are afraid to shake hands. People are afraid to speak. That's why you see people wearing masks and gloves everywhere. The new normal. Shelter in place. You got people losing jobs daily. I heard the president say today that 184 countries have been affected by this social distancing. 184 countries. Not just the United States, but all over the world. Let's look at another new normal. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65. We're going to start at verse 17. Isaiah 65 and 17, the new normal. This is God speaking. It says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Glory to God. You hear that? Let me read this footnote. It says, here God declares that he will create or bring into existence renewed heavens and a renewed earth, which would be so wonderful that the present ones will be forgotten in the glory and blessing that will then be enjoyed on the earth by the eternal society. Says it's going to be so wonderful, so beautiful, so magnificent that we won't even remember the present ones. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. I don't know why I read that, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to go back to our scripture. This is verse 12 and verse 65. It says, therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Verse 13 says, therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Verse 16 says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid for mine eyes. I don't know who that was for, but God is speaking. And for those who are not hearing him, this is a warning. Now let's continue to verse 17. This is the scripture. Verse 17 says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. Verse For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Speak of an oak tree. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord. Somebody need to claim that today. I am the seed of the blessed of the Lord. Glory to God. And their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, that's prophetic, and it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer. Sound like a suddenly. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. No more social distancing. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Wow. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now I want to read some footnotes here. Going back to verse 17, where it says, for I create a new heaven. So I create new heavens. Says new heavens and the new earth is found only 4 times in scripture, being used twice by Isaiah, Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah 66:22-24, once by Peter in 2 Peter 3:10-13, and once by John in Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter, verse 5. It says, making the heavens and earth new will be accomplished at the close of the millennium after all rebellion is put down on earth. All enemies are destroyed, and God has become all in all again, as before rebellion was started. First by Lucifer in heaven, and later by Adam in the Garden of Eden. In verse 20 it says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. And it says, this means that human life will be prolonged so that men will live as long as trees and for the entire 1,000 years if they do not commit a sin having the death penalty, an act which will require them to be executed. Then, if they do not rebel with Satan at the end of the 1,000 years, if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and if they are born again and consecrated to eternal righteousness, they will continue to live eternally in the new earth. A man in the 1,000-year reign of Christ will be considered an infant of years instead of an infant of days. And no one would die unless he is executed for crime. Nobody will fail to fill out his days of maturity and long life. Even sinners, listen to this, even sinners will live through the entire period if they will obey the civil laws and refrain from sins that carry the death penalty. A man will be considered a mere child at the age of 100. Wow. This is the new normal. And then it says, being 100, 200, 500, or 1,000 years of age, he will be executed if he commits a death penalty sin during the millennium. Verse 21 says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. This proves that ordinary natural life and living conditions on the earth will continue in the millennium. Verse 22 says, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. All men will be prosperous and have their own homes and other property. The day of mortgages, credits, debts, and other bondages of the present economy will be a thing of the past. This is the new normal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to read one more. It says, verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. It says, the whole nature of the animals will have to be changed in order for this to be fulfilled. Because now lions are meat eaters. Only God can do that. Talking about the serpent, says, this refers to the perpetual curse upon the serpent. All snakes will lose their poisonous fangs. And then when it speaks about his holy mountain, said, the holy mountain is the place for the headquarters of God's kingdom on earth. The new normal. Anybody ready for the new normal? All it takes is for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for your gift of salvation, Father. We thank you and we praise you for who you are. Thank you for the new normal. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Bless you. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. Talk to you next week.